You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, so Big Bag, a lot of good points. Like, yeah, the other guys on the offense are also professional football players. They should know where to line up. And I agree. Quarterbacks do generally help, though. And then also, whenever they're moving in motion, who's the guy that's waiting to snap the ball before they get set? It's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Who's usually the quarterback's the one sending them in motion. I mean, look at the quarterback when they're either under center or in a shotgun, and they move their whatever foot they want to use. They tap it, and that's usually the universal signal of, okay, you start moving in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on the quarterback. He is the maestro. He is the conductor of the offense. And yes, Nick Haley's obviously in his headset up until 15 seconds in the play clock and all that. And look, maybe he's not getting the play until 15 seconds or you know, on the play clock. And then it's dead right as soon as he got the play. I have a hard time believing that, but let's just assume that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got the play, 15 seconds left in the play clock. You should know that there's 15 seconds left on the play clock. You should know if that play is going to have some sort of motion on the play. So you should know how long it's going to take to get the play off. So you should always have that clock in your head. And plus, it's in front of you. You don't even need the clock in your head. You have it in front of you. It's some basic math. Okay, this play is going to take 5 seconds to get off. Once we get to the line, we better be to the line with at least 7 seconds so everybody can get set. Like, I think it's kind of basic quarterback play that Stroud struggles with.
Yeah, I think it's all the basic stuff for this offense. That's the worst part of it, because some of the big times, we saw some big time throws in this game from him.
Oh, for sure.
But it's the little things that they just don't have. It's week 14, year three, week 14, and we still got problems with this. Like, I know it's a new offense, but isn't it time for that? Like,
and he did kind of get it like stalled because of the concussion. I thought he was playing really well going into the concussion.
Yeah.
So like, and look, Kansas City's not a bad defense. It's a tough place to play.
Well, yeah, but I think those are two different things. Like,
sure.
Like Chris Jones dominant in the third quarter. He was incredible.
He was nasty.
He's one of the best players in the NFL when he tries really hard.
Yeah, he was nasty.
But that doesn't change operation.
No.
Like now, because if it's an understanding of where, you know, Spags is blitzing on 8 or 9 straight plays, you're trying to assess where the blitzes are coming. But even then, like, doesn't it look like when CJ's back there that he's not pointing out the blitzes like other quarterbacks? Like,
yeah,
just like I'm a feeling. Like, and maybe he is.
He,
like,
said that post game too, Joe. He's like, we need to be better at coverage calls, starts with me. So like,
yeah.
he openly admitted that yesterday.
Yeah, it's just that they're struggling with the little things that are holding this offense back from what their potential can actually be. They've shown in moments throughout this entire season, whether it's this game, Baltimore, San Francisco, like, there are moments where, like, this offense can work, it can be good, but then they have these terrible drives and these awful penalties. Then you're just like, well, maybe you can't be good because you can't do the little things right.
Yeah, and look, again, we're holding them to a high bar because suddenly the Texans, like, could win the AFC. But Stroud's going to have to improve in order for them to win the AFC. Like, are they Super Bowl contenders today? Their defense certainly is. Can their offense, like what we saw yesterday, coupled with this defense, win a Super Bowl? I think it's borderline, actually, because I think that highly of the defense. I think it's borderline because I think that highly of the defense. The thing is, the Texans' offense is playing like a 4 or 5, and I think they have the potential to play like a 7 or 8. So there's so much room to grow offensively that if the offense just starts being pretty good, coupled with an elite defense, you can make a run. And I think it's unfair to hold them to the standard of like, oh, we want them to be average. No, That's a loser's mentality. Like, mm-hmm. I think so. Junkie, I put more blame on Stroud. Doesn't he have permission to change protections at the line? He does. He did audible on that 3rd and 1 to the sneak, mm-hmm. which I don't love CJ Stroud running sneaks. He's got a history of concussions, but it was effective. They got the first down. I'm not going to be mad at him for that, obviously. Another junkie, maybe CJ Stroud is a game manager under Kaylee. And would y'all bring in a real innovative OC with experience in the offseason? I don't... Okay, this brings up like a bigger point, because like C.J. Stroud has talked about this offense being a death by a thousand cuts, which I don't think fits C.J. Stroud, but I think it fits what D'Amico Ryans wants his team to look like with an elite defense. He wants a methodical, time-consuming offense so it keeps his defense off the field. I don't think the O.C. is a perfect marriage for C.J. Stroud. I think the O.C. is a perfect marriage for what D'Amico Ryans wants his team holistically to look like. I don't think that C.J. Stroud is a game manager. In fact, C.J. Stroud has openly said, I am not a game manager, I'm a game changer. So I think philosophically there's a difference between Kaylee, D'Amico, CJ Stroud. I do think that they're trying to make CJ Stroud less volatile, where we're not going to be as explosive offensively under, even with Bobby Slowick, they were mm-hmm. explosive. We're going to be more time of possession. Let's move the ball downfield methodically. Death by a thousand cuts, more like a death by a thousand punts yesterday in the third quarter. So I do think that I don't think there's conflict there. I don't think there's strife there. I think they're trying to mold CJ Stroud into something he's naturally not,
yeah,
though.
I agree. I think you have to. That's why, I mean, I've been pro change Kaylee, but if you're not going to do that, I do think there needs to be some change with CJ, around CJ this offseason. Like, there has to be something brought in to this team to address, I think, these specific issues. If you go through an entire year and these fundamental flaws are there, it has to be addressed. It doesn't mean you have to fire your offensive coordinator, but some, you know, second quarterback coach, or I don't know, some just like offensive assistant, something like a veteran to bring in. I just feel like there needs, the room collectively, I think specifically CJ needs help here.
It could also just be seasoning under the system, though. Like a little bit more know-how in the system, growing into the system. It could also just be as simple as that.
But also we saw CJ take a step back in year two of this Bobby Slowick system.
He did.
So that's where I would like to believe that a second year under this Nick Kaylee system, it would get better. I also expect a top 10 quarterback to not take, you know, 10 games, right? 11 games for CJ this year. And still be having these flaws. Like, you think you'd see some fundamental improvement. Like, to me, like, there's no basis to believe that there will be improvement next year with this based on what we're seeing so far this regular season.
Key says CJ needs to stop trying to be Brady, be more like Breeze. I don't think that the Texans want that. Stroud is a game changer. He changes it for the worse. That's not fair. I thought Stroud was fine yesterday. We'll get to a grade on Stroud in a little bit. I thought he was fine. Like, punting the ball is not always bad, especially with this defense. And they punted a lot yesterday, death by a thousand punts. I think CJ and a lot of other young quarterbacks take longer to develop into a true pro than the past generations. Mm-hmm. Maybe. That's fair.
Like, oh, 100%.
That's like fair that, take.
Like, I don't think it's a correlated criticism of CJ, but we saw it today, even on the text line, about Ohio State quarterbacks. They run a fake offense. It doesn't translate to the NFL. Like, that's why we see you have all these Heisman Trophy winners with Lincoln Riley, and they all are struggling or take time to develop.
I mean, Jalen Hurts has won a Super Bowl.
He's the, but see, I still view him as more Bama.
Okay.
Then I, right? Is that fair though?
Maybe.
Like, I know his last year was at Oklahoma.
Different debate.
I view him as like a Bama guy, not an Oklahoma guy. That's where he won his Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
But he got benched by Bama. But like these Ohio State quarterbacks, like, they're running something that's not real in college. You know, it's like, if you go back and watch like the Gruden stuff from this offseason when he's baffled by the fact that Jackson Dart just clapped.
Right.
You know, like it's such a different time. Like,
it does take,
it's a different world. Like, look at Sam Darnold, look at Baker Mayfield, look at Daniel Jones this year, Geno Smith, how long it took these guys to develop, and look where they went to college, most of them. Like, West Virginia was not, it's like Ohio State now. Like, it was not a real offense that Geno Smith was running in college. It takes time. Unfortunately for the Texans, is you have to pay your quarterback thinking that time it's going to make it that much better.
Yeah.
And just, you have to bet on that.
Yeah, it does take – it's completely foreign to them.
Yeah.
It is because, I mean, it's so complex. It is so sophisticated. It is very hard. That's why I think that multi-years in the system will be beneficial, especially because they have an idea of how they want Stroud to play. Stroud has never played that way his entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, it does take time. Nobody wants to hear that. But it does take time to morph into that mold that they envision you for this specific offense.
He's basically still in year three of his life taking snaps under center.
Yeah.
Like, how often was he taking snaps under center at Ohio State?
Probably almost never.
Exactly.
Yeah. And on top of that, you have first-round receiver, first-round receiver, first-round receiver, first-round receiver. So, like, even whenever things go bad for you offensively, okay, let me just heave it up to a Mika Egbuka who's going to have 300 yards in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, or
here's my freshman
here's Marvin
receiver who hasn't played yet, and it's going to be a first-round pick in 4 years.
And it sounds like I'm being critical of C.J. Stroud, and I am, because I have a high standard for C.J. Stroud. I still have faith that C.J. Stroud could be a top-five quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There's just some things that are very obvious that it's going to require him to improve in order for him to be a top five quarterback, or coupled with his defense, a championship winning quarterback. A junkie, you don't see him doing anything, no pointing, no audibles, just says hut. You don't see it as much as other quarterbacks, and maybe that it's something to do with, like, being the orchestrator of the offense, being that maestro. Other quarterbacks do it. Other quarterbacks take control. This is my offense. Stroud's just kind of along for the ride, it seems like. And he's super talented, super talented. This conversation about Stroud is why the Mills Mafia is kicking and screaming. Mills was running the offense more efficiently at times and showed better management as a quarterback, Brandon in the Woodlands. I wouldn't say more efficient at times. I do think that Davis Mills is a better manager of the game, but he has nowhere near the talent of C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I mean, he's going 1-for-8 on his first 9 completions in these games. Like, come on.
And you're capped out what you can be with Davis Mills versus Stroud.
Yeah.
Like, Davis Mills might be able, with this defense, to get you 10-7 divisional round. If C.J. Stroud plays anywhere close to his potential, you're talking about a Super Bowl champion. C.J. gets his guys to the line late quite often, but you got to remember last night those fans were lunatics, very loud. Their team's on the brink of being eliminated from the playoffs. That's 100% true. And, like, this is more big picture than yesterday. But that's a valid point. Guys, CJ's a bottom-tier quarterback. See, I can't go there. He's definitely not a bottom-tier quarterback.
But he's mid. He's mid-tier.
If you ask the national perspective, they would have him mid-tier.
Yeah.
But what's his potential? We've talked about that.
Yeah.
We're just talking about the areas for him to fulfill his potential. This junkie, I'm curious how you think about this. Plug in Baker Mayfield instead of CJ Stroud and your instant Super Bowl contenders.
He's been so bad lately.
Yeah.
He's pretty hurt.
I think he's hurt.
He's pretty hurt again. He's just toughing it out. But, yeah, I agree.
A healthy
Baker, early season Baker. This team's.
We were talking about Baker in the MVP conversation,
and it was well deserved.
Why did you sound drunk saying that?
And now it's not.
No, he just got hurt. It's
like very similar to, like, that last year in Cleveland.
Yeah,
where it's like you probably shouldn't be out there, dude. But
he's trying to.
Thanks for playing.
Be trying to be gutsy. CJ did pick up something for Mills. Don't take the sack. Yeah, he's been better in that area. Any opinion on having to listen to Collinsworth drool over Mahomes? Yeah, we touched on it a little bit earlier. He did, Glaze. I don't mind Collinsworth, though. I know I'm in the minority there. Stroud looks like he always has a sour warhead in his mouth. He ain't wrong.
Yeah, he never looks.
Those three and outs. I mean, he's talked about that. He's got resting Stroud face. And for somebody who has resting JB face, I get it. I get it. People, oh, you're always in a bad mood. No, I just have resting JB face.
I feel like you smile a lot more than CJ.
You think so?
Yeah, like little smirks. Not a lot of tears.
Yeah, I try to smirk a little bit more, I guess. Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. I do want to point out the good from C.J. Stroud yesterday. I feel like it's only fair. And there was a lot of good for C.J. Stroud. Also, I have receipts on the bed. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
We just got back from LaBerge this weekend. We were out there doing shows on Saturday and Sunday. It was a great time, as always, watching the conference championship games. We'll be back out there on the 20th and 21st doing shows and being out there for the college football playoffs. It's a great time to check out their brand new VIP fan cave sections that are available for bookings right now. Look, they're already booked for the Super Bowl, but it doesn't mean they're not booked for the college football playoffs. I'll tell you, if you're an A&M fan, like, you might want to call today, because it is a full-on Aggie contingent at the sportsbook when we're there. So it's going to be chaos when they're playing Miami in the first round of the college football playoffs. But it's a great time. We saw a big group of Georgia fans there. I was checking out the new Score Bet app while we were there as well. It's nice and easy to use. They got brand new menu items, more on the way, and it's available now to all ages. Plus, you can do up to 20 leg parlays and earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play card at the sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles. And don't forget, They also offer you a chance to place wagers on all of your Houston area teams. Must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. You want the good or the bad with CJ? I wrote down a few plays here that really stood out to me. I'm going to try to do an all 22 tonight. I haven't done one in a while. I've been very busy. I'm going to try to get to them tonight. So I'm going to try to post these on my Twitter at Jeremy Branham.
Let's go good first.
All right, good first. In fact, I even put great plays. I didn't put good plays. I put great plays. And there was a handful. How about the Schultz on third and long in the first possession of the second quarter? Mm-hmm. Great play. Rolls out of the pocket, finds Schultz on the sideline. Actually, this was probably the one where he's on the right hash. Great play by C.J. Stroud. Same drive, second and seven, rolls out, back leg throw, hits Nico Collins. Nico Collins with a little yak on the play, turns into an explosive. Like, these are plays that Davis Mills can't make. Like, we're not entertaining the Mills-Stroud argument. But I saw somebody else, like, would Mac Jones be better for this offense than Stroud? Like, these plays, no. Mac Jones doesn't make these plays. Same drive, the touchdown pass to Woody, which, you know, NFL standards, maybe that's an easy play. But it's also some of the stuff that C.J. Stroud struggles with. Like, he's not great stepping into the pocket. He has a nasty habit of drifting backwards. He made an excellent read. The blitz is in his face. I thought it was a great play on the touchdown pass to Woody Marks. Mm-hmm. So another great play for C.J. Stroud. Final drive in the first half. Now, this kind of turned into a mess up because he couldn't get to the line in time. But third and 16, final drive of the first half. He escapes Chris Jones, steps into the pocket, finds Dalton Schultz for a first down and a third and 16 play. Like, these are very difficult plays to make. Third and 17 from his own 9-yard line. They're backed up. This is second half. He escapes Chris Jones again. He finds Higgins for the first down. This was the one that was, like, right on the marker where they actually gave him, like, a bad spot, made it close when it probably should have been a yard ahead of the line to gain. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable play for C.J. Stroud. Third and 3 after Andy Reid went for it, which we'll get to some of the Andy Reid stuff a little bit later. More Jones pressure. Stroud rolls. He's buying time. You think he's going to throw it away, and he darts a pass into Higgins for what was a critical first down on a third and 3. Like, these are plays that you have to be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL to make. Mm-hmm. So we know that C.J. Stroud makes those plays. But here's the bad, which is why he's not a top 5 quarterback. First pass of the second drive of the game. Connected with Nico, but it was behind him. This was the deep play. Yeah. Would have been a touchdown if he leads him. The Texans settled for a field goal there. They eventually settled for a field goal. Like, you, a decent throw at 6. And look, I get it's cold, all that stuff. But Stroud played Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. A decent throw is a touchdown.
I think it was late, too.
Like, I think the pass was late. He didn't get rid of it in time. Yeah. So it was more of a timing thing than an underthrow.
I think it was both, actually. Like, I think I it was late and another. Great play by Nico, though.
Great play. Great play by Nico. Underthrown pass. Yeah, like, let's call it what it is. Underthrown or late. One of the two, maybe both.
Whatever. It was a touchdown, yes. And they didn't get it.
If it's timed better or thrown better, that's 6. And look, again, yes, you guys are holding a high standard to C.J. Stroud. You're darn right we are, because he has top 5 potential, and this team has Super Bowl potential if he plays to his potential. There was a very errant ball on a Higgins corner route. Would have been a tough throw. I almost didn't put this one. It was very nitpicky, but it was just so errant. Like, he put it in the front row when, like, a decent, like, it would have been a good throw. It would have been a good throw to make. I think he's capable of
making
it.
It was on my list.
Super, was it?
Yeah.
There you go. I thought it was nitpicky.
But I think he can make it. We've seen him make it. It might have been since his rookie year. I've seen him make that throw before, and that's where it's like it's all a little off this year still. But like, there are big time throws. Like, man, like, I've seen CJ connect with that to Tank Dell or to Nico or Schultz or someone, and he's just airmailing that thing.
And that's why I put it was how bad the miss was. Like, if he missed it by, like, you know, Higgins has to jump up and it's off his fingertips, or if he puts it, like, 2 yards out of bounds, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm being super – it went over the head of everybody on the sideline.
Yeah, it's not a catchable ball.
Yeah, it was super – it was almost like it was a throwaway how bad it was. I don't like how he handles the two-minute offense. First drive of the second half. Third and long. This is the one where he misses a wide open Xavier Hutchinson. Like, he missed him by about 3-5 yards, airmailed it right over his head. By NFL standards, by CJ Stroud standards, that's routine. Mm-hmm. That's a routine play. He was late to see him. Then once he did, airmailed it. And look, does the pressure impact him? Of course it does. He airmailed Nico in a 1st and 10 with relatively good protection for Texan standards. And then the one in the fourth quarter, Christian Kirk crossing route, 3rd down, under 4 minutes, would have iced the game. Pretty easy throw that he missed him by about 3-4 yards, led him too far.
And that's where it's so, I think the CJ stuff is really complicated. Because I think, like, as to someone's point earlier, like, there's this group of young quarterbacks who are all making these highlight level plays, but then they're also making throws that are really frustrating. I think very similarly right now to where a lot of people view Jordan Love is how I'm starting to feel about CJ Stroud. Where there's plays where I'm like, he's it. That's the dude. That guy's going to win Super Bowls. Then he makes throws. I'm like, that's contract sucks. Where it's like, it's just like there's very little middle ground with him on these throws. Rather, they're big time, great throws. You're just like, it's just not good enough for him right now.
He can play better. I think the Texans need him to play better if they want to fulfill their goals.
And also, like, the weather thing. Like, if you want to bring it up, like, don't care. It's not a real excuse.
It wasn't really windy, was it?
No. And it's also just like, it's the reality of the NFL. And like if you don't win home field advantage and you want to win the Super Bowl this year, you're going to Denver or New England.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to go play in one of those places in January. You might have to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You might have to go to Buffalo. It's just the reality. Like, it can't be. And the weather's not an excuse, because go watch the Bengals. Bengals game this weekend.
Everything's kind of an excuse, though. Oh, it's, you know, Kaylee. Look, there's some truth to that, no doubt. Oh, it's cold. You know, oh, his receiver didn't run. Oh, the protection. Like, it's always something.
Yeah.
Like, great quarterbacks outplay the deficiencies around them, quite frankly. It's the truth. Junkie, how do you figure top five potential is rookie season, a last place schedule? I just listed out a bunch of great plays that I don't think many quarterbacks in the world can make. Tyler in the row, I'm starting to think Jeremy doesn't know ball. I just can't take anyone serious when they're honestly criticizing CJ Stroud when he's anchored with Nick Kaley in the outdated offensive scheme. Look, Kaley deserves a lot of blame. I think I just pointed to a lot of plays that he should improve. Procedural stuff at the line. I mentioned a few throws there. Just my opinion. Tyler Shuck greater than CJ at the moment.
No.
I'm being facetious, but Shuck has played well recently.
He's fun.
He can run. I haven't watched much of him, really.
He can run. I didn't know that.
Do you think CJ played better than Mahomes? I don't. If you put CJ in Mahomes' shoes last night, you put Mahomes in CJ's shoes last night, the Texans win by 17 points.
Yeah, I would agree to that.
Easy.
At least 17.
At least 17.
Yeah, because also, like, you know, maybe Noel is set before he snaps it.
Stroud's stat line looks far better.
Yeah.
But if you just trade teams yesterday, you trade your quarterback yesterday, what is the score in that game? At least 17. Maybe more.
30-10?
Yes. It's facts.
And it's not, again, it's CJ is playing well enough. And look, there's a $60 million contract. This team is now back in the top, like, 6, I think it is, in Super Bowl odds for the year. No, it's about 8th. 8th in Super Bowl odds this year. Like, the bar has been raised. Again, and to the Nick Kaley point, you want to blame Nick Kaley? That's fine. I don't like Nick Kaley.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. He's coming back.
Probably.
The only way you're getting a new OC at this point, in my opinion, is if you get a new head coach. Like, I don't know if you're gonna get a third OC.
Pretty spicy right now.
I just don't know if we're gonna get a third OC. I think he likes Nick Kaley. Kaley's his guy.
I don't think he'll quit on Kaley either. Yeah. I think Kaley will be back next year. And look, I don't love the scheme either. I think that's a bigger issue, Tyler, in the row. I don't disagree with you. But let's not ignore some of the deficiencies. I don't know why we do that. Does Stroud have a lack of urgency problem in the two-minute drill? No doubt. 100% he does. 100% that he has a lack of urgency in the two-minute drill. Just go watch the last 2 minutes of the first half of the last two games and tell me that a top-10 quarterback wouldn't operate that better. Mm-hmm. I think it's painfully obvious. Painfully obvious.
Agreed.
But we make excuses. Pre-massage, was Watson better than Stroud? I think he put up better numbers.
Yeah, but I think similarly, like, there are things that are holding CJ back right now that he has to be better at to take this game to the next level. And it was the same conversation with Deshaun. Like, how many times does Deshaun Watson get sacked last night?
A lot.
10?
Yeah, he does.
Like, 8?
Look, and Stroud has made great progress in that area.
Yeah.
Great progress.
Yeah, and, like, Deshaun never did.
No,
right?
He didn't.
So I think there are both these quarterbacks where, you know, Deshaun never elevated his game past to where it was. The numbers are better than some of Stroud's, probably than most of Stroud's, I would imagine. But he never elevated his game, and now he's a bench warmer, and I don't know.
Maybe,
maybe on the Browns next year?
I think Deshaun had a lot of built-in advantages for the offensive setting, too. Like, they didn't have the number one defense in the NFL. So, like, Stroud's in different types of games, right? Like, Watson was in a lot of games that turned into shootouts because they had to be. I think Bill O'Brien was a better offensive play caller than Kaley. You know, the weapons were probably pretty even. Like, Watson had DeAndre towards the end of his Texans tenure, who was still very, very good. Stroud has Nico. The running game this year, probably not as good as some of the running games that Watson had, but Stroud had Mixon last year, but it was a different scheme. I think that Watson was in a better offensive setting than Stroud.
Yeah, he had a better OC.
Like, if you were to ask me, Watson at that juncture, Stroud at this juncture, who would you rather have for the next 5 years? I would take C.J. Stroud. But I'm also going to concede the fact that Watson had better numbers outside of Stroud's rookie year.
Mm-hmm. It's – and C.J. just has to now develop in a way that Deshaun never did and also continue to be a good person. That'd be nice.
I mean, a lot of bad people win games.
Yeah, but Deshaun didn't win any games.
He didn't. I hated the pressure getting to Stroud in the third, but I was impressed he kept his composure to finish out the game. I agree with that. You can say the same thing with Kaley, though, because Kaley called some better plays in the fourth, right? The difference to me in the fourth and the third quarter was mostly the running game, though. Like, the running game got back on track. And look, we spent a lot of time talking about C.J. Stroud's third quarter, and most of this is big-picture stuff. I thought he was fantastic in the first half for the most part.
Yeah, he was great.
I thought he was really good in the first half.
I think the majority of the plays you listed were in the second half.
Yes, they were.
And all like his second half, it's three plays, negative 4 yards, three plays, 2 yards, three plays, 0 yards, three plays, 0 yards, six plays, 19 yards, a touchdown, a punt. Like, all they did was go three and out in the second half. That can't all be on the quarterback. That's where there's your offensive line's a problem, your play calling's a problem, your quarterback's a problem.
Yes.
It's all bad. Like, they play collectively terrible. And that's where I think when you talk about this offense and how far they can take this team, the first half offense can take this team far. If you play like that against someone in the playoffs as you did in the second half, you're probably going to lose that game 21-20 or something like that.
Yeah. No, the first half was great offensively. It was really, really really good. I thought Stroud was really, really good in the first half until the two-minute warning. And then we saw the two-minute offense do its thing again. So, I mean, it's there. And this is more big picture with Stroud, not necessarily yesterday, although there were some, you know, some moments that kind of show up, especially in that third quarter yesterday. 713-780-3776. You guys don't know if the OC isn't the one getting the plays in too slowly. The comms turns off at 15 seconds. So Stroud's at least getting the play with 15 seconds left on the play clock. 713-780-3776. If you think that Stroud is perfect, you're crazy and a homer. CJ is and can be great, but you can't have blinders on to his game. Yeah. I want to get into the Andy Reid.
Jeremy knows ball.
Anyway, we want to do Andy Reid that part. All right, so Andy Reid. I love Andy Reid. I think he's the greatest offensive mind we have seen. Well, I like McVay, too. Andy Reid's one of the top two offensive minds we've ever seen in the history of the game. How about his game management, though, yesterday? What did you think of those fourth downs that he went for in the fourth quarter? 713-780-3776. And if you'll allow me, I have a hat tip to an unsung hero. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. AJ's in for Brian today. I just did something on my computer. I don't know what I did.
Oh.
How do I get out of this?
Did you break something?
No, I like went full screen. I sound like a boomer right now, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
I think I fixed it.
It's not like when like your eye button was broken. Like you just went full screen and you just couldn't get out of it. You just, Very old man right
I
there.
I went full. I've done that before, and I never know how to get out of it. Anyways, Andy Reid, 4th-and-1 on their own 21, 10.5 left in a 10-10 game. Go or punt?
Punt.
What was he thinking?
Well, see, this is where it's you punt, but it's desperation. That's what it was. It was a desperate act of football.
Why do you need to be desperate? It's a tie game.
I don't know.
Andy Reid, his decision on that first fourth down, 4th-and-1, their own 29, 10.5 left in a 10-10 game, literally gave life to the Houston Texans by not converting that.
Yeah.
Because the Texans were doing absolutely nothing offensively in the second half. How you go for it there is unbelievable.
They had it, their longest drive to that point, the Texans, was 6 plays.
Yeah, you punt, you're going to get the ball back with the tie game at 10.
Like, yeah.
That to me was, I thought that was very, very bad. I don't want to sit here and say it's the worst I've ever seen because that's super, like, you know, that sounds very hyperbolic Hollins of me.
But I don't know why he felt that desperate in that moment. And it's also just maybe it's just the reality of, like, that's what you used to be. Like, last year, 2 years ago, I get it. I get why you do it. You're Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs.
I don't think you do it even then.
But like,
this is the number one defense in the NFL that literally cannot move the ball. Punting is not bad.
Yeah, but they did, and I don't know what the math is there that makes you say, okay, if we punt it, they get it on the 40. Even if they go 3 and out, we're still pinned back on the 10-yard line. But
yeah.
Instead, you gave them the ball, and they only had to go 30 yards for a touchdown.
I'd rather have it 1st and 10 at the 10 than 4th and 1 at the 29.
Yeah, I think I was shocked. That was the decision they made.
Do you ever see the Cowboy computer or Computer Cowboy that does like the analytics? I think the analytics on this said go, but this is the problem that I have with analytics.
Why?
Because it's 4th and 1, and like you should convert 4th and 1s, and you will more times than not. But the problem that I have with analytics are you factoring the flow of the game? Are you factoring the fact that your offense hasn't been playing that well because they're going up against the number one defense in the NFL? Like, I don't think that the analytics factors that in. They just factor
Oh,
well, this is the percentage of times that the average NFL team gets a 4th and 1 against the average NFL defense. That was a terrible decision.
Yeah, it doesn't factor in any of the truth of what's happening that you see with your eyes. It only looks at numbers. And
that lost them the game, Joe.
It is.
Joe, if they punt there, I think they win.
Do you think they get a field goal, like 2 field goals? At some point,
I don't know if it takes 2 field goals. It might only take 1. It was 10-10 at that point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, are the Texans going to have a scoring drive? Like, if the Texans' scoring drives in the fourth quarter both began in Kansas City territory, do you think that yesterday, with 10.5 left in the game, that the Houston Texans, after we saw 20 minutes of offense ineptitude, was going to have a drive start on their own side of the field and they were going to have a scoring drive?
No.
I don't believe they would have.
Nope.
I don't believe they would have. I think Andy Reid going for it there single-handedly lost them the game.
Yeah, it's a terrible decision. And that's where, to me, the analytics, it's gone too far. And I don't know if the Chiefs just, they look at those numbers and they say, hey, if it says go, we go. But that's the wrong approach.
It might be a little bit of the offensive mind, too. We're so good offensively, and I have such a great offensive mind that we're going to get this because I know we can because our offense is elite. Like, I wonder if you had just maybe not a play caller. Like, even if he was an offensive mind but not a play caller,
yeah.
You should have a CEO head coach that doesn't call plays. I wonder if he punts there. I think he would have.
Yeah, and honestly, like, is it – you know, it took a long time for us to get to Brady versus Belichick. Are we sure it's not Mahomes versus Reed here? Because, like, doesn't this feel like something he does with Donovan McNabb and the Eagles and cost his team the game in the NFC Championship game?
I mean, he went to the Super Bowl with McNabb.
I know more back then it was clock management issues. But Andy Reid used to be a very flawed coach.
Yeah, I don't really remember too much about his Philly days.
Like, it was always just like the way the Texans operate their offense at the end of a quarter or in a crucial situation is what the Eagles would do. But I guess it's just confidence in your quarterback, which I don't blame him, but it cost him the game.
Yeah, it was a bad call. How about the second one? The 4th and 1 on their own 41, 5.5 left. You're down 17-10 here.
That's fine.
Yeah, last night I didn't think it was a good call. Sleeping on it. Watching the game back, I still probably punt there because I don't believe in the Texans offense. I pick my defense over the Texans offense in that moment. But it's around midfield.
Yeah.
You are down a touchdown. There's not a lot of time left. Last night I thought it was dumb to go for it. I don't really feel strongly about that one anymore.
Yeah. Now you know in the game situation here, what the Texans go three plays for negative 2 yards, but take a minute 42 off the clock, and then you throw a pick two plays later. So, like, that's where I think going for it is trusting your defense in that moment, and it worked.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't get the fourth down, you got the Texans off the field immediately, but then you throw an interception when Kelce drops it, and it's game over at that point. So I'm fine with that one.
Yeah, that one doesn't really bother me. The first one I thought was just flat out idiotic. All right, the hat tip that I have for you, Joe.
What you got?
Tommy Townsend. Tommy Townsend revenge game. He had three punts last night, Joe, that he pinned the Chiefs inside the 10, two of which were inside the 5. Tommy Townsend, you know, I'm going to give Tommy Townsend an early game ball. Tommy Townsend, early game ball. Tommy the Tongue Townsend was fantastic yesterday. He gets my game ball.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Why?
You can't. A punter?
He had three punts pinned inside the 10, two inside the 5.
I get it.
Against his old team. Revenge game.
It was Tommy a revenge Townsend. Game. He did a great job.
I like to give game balls to players who it's going to mean something for.
It does. It meant a lot to him.
Meant a lot to him.
As he punted it.
It's big.
I know, but Jalen Petrie had a pick, and he killed someone by the field, it looked like.
That's good. You can give your balls to Petrie. I like it whenever drives end and punts. And that's one thing that I will give C.J. Stroud credit for yesterday. Like, we pointed out a lot of areas where he needs to improve. The one area that I was extremely pleased with C.J. Stroud. You got the number one defense in the NFL. You got Tommy Townsend, who's pinning Kansas City back inside the 10 every time his foot touches the ball. The one area where I have to tip my cap to C.J. Stroud and give him a lot of credit. Zero turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Their blitzing pressure rate of like 55%. Careful with the ball. It's okay if a series ends with a kick.
Just not a turnover.
Yes. I will give C.J. Stroud a lot of credit for that. Hand it off to Tommy Townsend. Get the football on the foot of your best player.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Townsend.
Game ball.
Also, I feel sad for Braxton Berrios. He was inactive yesterday after Alex Earl broke up with him.
Do we know that she broke up with him?
No, we just know they broke up.
Yeah.
Which I called this 3 weeks ago.
I know you did.
You guys were like, oh, what are you? That doesn't mean they're going to break up because she was on Dance.
I was sitting with Brian at the casino, and I literally.
That show?
Hit the table because I was like, I hate.
Yeah.
Even though I love you.
Yeah.
When Jeremy's right.
No, I don't blame you.
About nonsensical stuff.
I hate when I'm right.
But I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
Shock went up for Jeremy. We can't prove you're fully correct.
I think I'm pretty correct.
But you're on track.
What do you mean you can't prove I'm fully correct?
Is she dating her partner?
Was that the full take?
I think so.
I think it was 4 weeks ago on this show. I said that they were going to break up. I don't remember saying it was because of her partner, but maybe I did. I don't really remember. And then 3 weeks ago, after watching an episode of Dancing with the Stars, her dancer gave her a kiss on the forehead, and they brought in a deep, little deep hug. And I was like, the intimacy there is off the charts. The relationship of Braxton Berrios and Alex Earl is going to be done here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Sayonara, Braxton Berrios. Honestly. Alex Earl's on to bigger and better things. I feel for you, though, Braxton Berrios. I hate it for you.
I hate that he's not out there returning kicks.
Because of the breakup?
I just think he's their best option, potentially.
Noel's fine.
Yeah, Noel's fine when he gets it on kickoff return.
Yeah, but I mean, do you want to carry a guy on the 48 that is your second kick returner?
No, it's hard to have two wide receivers who don't play.
Hey, Jalen Noel played as many snaps as Christian Kirk yesterday.
Great.
And Jalen Noel was handed a ball in an end around on a 3rd and 4. That was the stupidest play call of the game for Nick Haley.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot of, like, why isn't Jalen Noel playing? We talked a lot about the illegal shifts on the Houston Texans offense. Did you know who was involved on a couple of those?
Noel.
Yeah.
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 Higgins. Better than Noel.
Here's what we've learned today, though. We've talked to a lot of Houston Texans. They're back in the playoffs if the season were to end today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how Stroud can be better. This elite Houston Texans defense. Andy Reid's a buffoon.
Yeah.
But if you learned anything today, I want you to take one thing with you. Never let your significant other go on Dancing with the Stars. It is a relationship killer. Time and time again, your significant other is going to leave you or sleep with her dancer or his dancer. It's a fact. I it's a fact. It's not an opinion.
It's not a full fact yet, but it's close.
All right. College football was insane.
Can we just keep talking Texans?
Over the weekend. No. No. The Twitchers are unhappy. The Twitchers hate when we talk Texans.
Yeah, but the Texans are in the playoffs.
Twitchers are
Let's
very anti.
Let's talk about playoff teams.
We can talk about the 12 teams that are in the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Thanks. We can talk about the crying that's going on for another team that is not. The crying Irish. The Notre Dame crying
Baylor
Irish.
Baylor skipping their bowl game. What clowns.
Well, I want to talk about that, though. The committee, did they get it right at the end of the day? Did they get it right? The circus that was Hunter Yurecek and the College Football Playoff Committee. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
The Texans claimed a running back, Joe. That was the other thing I was going to mention. Texans got some running back issues.
Yeah, they do.
Woody Marks got banged. I think he was concussed. Do you think he was concussed? Looked like he got his bell rung.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. We saw yesterday in the Bengals game, I don't know if you saw this, but T. Higgins came out for a minute, and they sent him back in. And now he's in the concussion protocol. Yeah. So we'll wait and see. Yeah, Nick Chubb, it's they said wait and see.
Yeah. They claim Cody Schrader. He's a
Who?
White running back.
I could have guessed that with his name.
Really?
Schrader?
Cody?
Yeah.
I think I used to know a Schrader, actually. 713-780-3776. I wonder if maybe it's a precursor to one of them being hurt. Maybe it's just insurance in case they are hurt. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Chubb, they said, will be like TBD throughout the week. So I think it's insurance.
Yeah, I mean,
now.
They always they say that, and all of a sudden, boom, IR.
Yeah, but then know? they claimed a corner, and Lassiter was out there.
True. So it could be insurance.
Yeah.
It could be insurance. All right. So 713-780-ESPN. College football rankings. Someone asked on the text line if they revealed the bracket. Yep. The bracket's out there. It is out there. What was your biggest gripe with the college football committee?
What kind of question is that?
What was your biggest gripe?
There's a million of them. The first
What was
one,
the first one?
They prove it's just a television show. Now that I've had, 29 hours or so to think about it. They proved that, and I know we have to talk about it next year when it comes out every week, that it's a giant and utter waste of time. It is a huge waste of time. Nothing happened this weekend to move Miami in front of Notre Dame.
That's not true.
I said last week, Miami always should have been in over Notre Dame. Head-to-head has to matter. Then they always should have been in front of them. Notre Dame always had two losses, just like Miami always had two losses. You could have put Notre Dame behind them. But they didn't do it. And they used their different excuses. And there was no reason to move Miami in front of Notre Dame this week because they hadn't done it before. And it shows all it was a giant plot twist on TV. So they had big-time ratings and big-time conversations. And no matter what they say, even when Hunter Yurecek lies about Notre Dame not being as athletic, 56-13 over Arkansas. That's his school.
Okay. Yeah. That doesn't mean they're more athletic.
Yeah. He's the athletic
less
director.
Athletic than yeah. Miami, yeah. though.
I watched the game. They bullied that football team.
But he's telling you that Miami would have beat them 70-0.
Yeah. Okay. But like,
I don't know why that matters.
Because that's what he said. He said they're more athletic. I don't agree.
I don't understand why their margin of victory against Arkansas is relevant.
He watched them play up close. He watched them play.
That doesn't mean that he thinks that they're more athletic than Miami, though.
Yeah, but I don't know what are you basing it off of? One game in the first week of the season when Miami didn't look that much more athletic. But the larger point is there was no reason to make the switch now. It was the right decision from the beginning to put Miami in over Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But there was no reason to do it this week. And their excuse is so flawed about BYU being a buffer. Because BYU should not have dropped in the rankings. Ohio State dropped in the rankings, BYU dropped in the rankings, Virginia dropped in the rankings. Those are the three teams in the Power Four conferences that lost their college football playoff game, their conference championship games. But Alabama gets to stay put? Why?
Yeah.
What's the reasoning behind it? Why is Ohio State not the number one team in the country? If Alabama gets to stay where they're at, why did they have to drop?
Well, Indiana beat Ohio State.
It's the only one that makes sense. Like, why did BYU drop? They've only lost to Texas Tech.
That's my biggest beef, is BYU dropping from 11. I'm not even suggesting that BYU should be in the resume in the tournament. Like I tweeted something where I said, if BYU dropped, why did Alabama drop? And people are like, oh, you're saying BYU should be ahead of Alabama. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you should have been consistent with the two. I don't think that BYU should have fell from 11. Like, why is BYU under Miami today, but they weren't a week ago? I don't understand that one, because they lost to Texas Tech again. They lost to a top four team in their conference championship game. So we're penalizing a team for losing in the conference championship game. BYU would have been better off had not playing in that game.
I think it's because I think the committee, Notre Dame's athletic director was on Wake Up Barstool this morning. He said he thinks
he was all over the place today.
He thinks the committee had a plan going into this weekend. The results didn't matter, and I agree with him.
Well, the results had to have mattered.
No, but they knew they had it all planned out. Like how the actual games were played,
sure,
didn't matter.
I don't know if that's bad though.
But like, I don't think, like, I think, this is my opinion. I think Notre Dame is in the playoffs if Virginia beats Duke, and they shouldn't be correlated because that's your ACC representation. Like I and it should,
but there would have been an extra spot.
No, because they would have been 11. You got them at 10, yeah.
So Miami would have stayed put below BYU?
Yeah.
Even though BYU lost?
Yeah, like I think BYU would have stayed in. Like I just think they had a plan for how all this was going to go, and it didn't matter how the games looked on the field because I don't think BYU should be out of the playoffs. They should be in over Miami. They have two losses this year to Texas Tech.
No, I don't think that – I'm fine with that. I'm fine with BYU over Miami, obviously. But I do think Notre Dame got screwed here. Now, I would have had Miami ahead of Notre Dame all along. I think it's stupid that BYU dropped below Miami, though, because all they did was play in its conference championship game. I don't think that you should penalize teams for their conference championship. In fact, I kind of like proactively tweeted this. I said that BYU and Alabama should be treated the exact same, that if you drop one of them, you drop both of them. Mm-hmm. If you keep both the same, you keep both the same, because I firmly believe that. My biggest criticism of the committee, and I don't hate the teams that ultimately got here, is that BYU should not have dropped. You shouldn't penalize a team for their conference championship. It's a little different with Indiana Ohio State because they're 1-2.
Yeah.
One team's going to be undefeated. But it's not like you dropped Ohio State out of a bye, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of that either. I would have picked Miami over Notre Dame, like, ultimately, if I was comparing them side by side. I always felt that way, that Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame because head-to-head matters more than anything. But I don't think that BYU should have been dropped to 12.
Yeah, it's
because they played in its conference championship game, and I think every other conference championship game that had teams lose fell, with the one exception being Alabama. And Alabama's resume is pretty comparable to like Notre Dame and Miami.
They got boat raced in this game, and they lost to Florida State, and no one seems to want to talk about it. Like even Miami should be ranked higher than 10. They should be the 9 seed. They should be higher than Alabama. They got that wrong too. It's an incredibly flawed system, and they're only making it worse. Like the fact,
I think there's actually an easy fix.
What's the fix?
I'll tease that in a minute. But yeah. I saw the BYU sending out a lot of propaganda, and their fans are sending out a lot of propaganda. But this one caught my eye. ESPN owns all of SEC broadcast. ESPN owns all ACC broadcast, does not own Notre Dame, does not own Big Ten or Big 12. ESPN owns all the broadcasting rights to the college football playoff.
Yes.
So
it's why Notre Dame's not in the bowl game. They opted out. I'm still not quite sure if I agree with it, to be honest with you. They opted out because the Pop-Tart Bowl is on ABC. It's an ESPN property.
Oh, wow.
And an ESPN property in the ACC network reran Miami Notre Dame 15 times over the weekend.
Like, that's crazy. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. They ran it over and over. It's the only thing they ran. It was like USC Texas for the Longhorn Network. They just reran that one game over
crazy.
And over again.
Crazy.
So like,
well, couldn't they have rejected that bowl and went to another?
See, this is another part of it where if they wanted to keep the bowl system alive, they should have had an honest conversation with Notre Dame and said, if you're out, do you want to go play Texas? And you could have agreed to that beforehand. Like they should be planning that stuff ahead of time instead of reacting to it. Like you could have had better matchups. Like
let's bump
BYU Notre Dame's not great, but like it's just I don't know. I'm pissed as a fan. I think they got it right, but like this system sucks. And it's only going
to
get worse.
I have the fix. I do want to talk about this Notre Dame provision that they have next year. I find that to be ridiculous. But a couple of things that I would change, I think immediately fix this year's playoff and last year's playoff. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.